This is Let's Talk Chattanooga Real Estate, the podcast where we cover home buying, home selling, home improvement tips and ideas, market trends and developments, and investing in real estate. If you own real estate in the Chattanooga, Tennessee area, or want to own real estate here, then you're in the right place. Let's Talk Chattanooga Real Estate is hosted by Blake Watson, a real estate agent and investor in Tennessee and Georgia.
Welcome to Let's Talk Chattanooga Real Estate. I'm Blake Watson, a licensed agent in Tennessee and Georgia and brokered by Epic Realty. My guest is Mario Forte with Beginning Point Surveys. Welcome to the show, Mario.
Thank you very much, Blake.
So you're a surveyor and have been for many years.
Almost 40.
Almost 40 years.
40, yeah.
Well, we've got the right guy on the show today for sure. What would someone need a survey for? What does a surveyor do?
So surveying can be quite a diverse field. We can do everything from basic boundary surveys for people who want a fence or just want to know where the properties are. We can subdivide property, which is divide land. We can do engineering type surveys for pipelines, construction, roads, bridges, and for mining, when tunnels are going under the ground.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And offshore position fixing for navigation for boats and if they're drilling for oil and stuff like that. So there's quite a variety and wide range of services that a surveyor can do and is trained to do.
Wow. Would I need a survey if I'm buying a house?
So not specifically, but it is recommended for sure. And a lot of issues come up when a survey is required and the closing's coming up in 30 days and we can't get to it because of our schedule in time. So that can create a problem. And sometimes people forgo the survey just because they don't want to wait. So my advice would be to someone who's planning to sell their property to actually have a survey prior to, as one of the first things they do in preparation for selling the land, have a survey done, because the buyer is going to know exactly what it is they're getting for their dollars. Plus, there's no ambiguity if there's any encroachments along the lines, like whose fence is that when you're buying it? You know, is that my neighbor's fence? Is it my fence, you know, when I buy it? These questions will be answered prior to the transfer of land of a sale.
That's a very good point. I recently had a land transaction where we were trying to get a survey done relatively quickly, and I had to advise the buyer, hey, this is probably going to be 60 days out or something like that. Yeah. What is a typical?
Yeah, about 60 days.
Okay.
So you would want to plan about 3 months in advance if you want to get a recent survey. But like, we see this a lot where we have the older generation that are wanting to either sell their land off to a son or a daughter or for another family member, or they may want to divide their property. And sometimes they want that to happen very fast.
Mm.
But it's a good idea to plan ahead of time and get the survey done, because it's not something that will happen quite quick unless you're fortunate enough to find a surveyor that's in between projects that can jump on it.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also found that once the survey is completed, you find if there are any issues of where maybe the property line wasn't where you thought it was.
Right.
And as you mentioned, especially with property that's been around in a family for a long time, a fence is up and everybody assumes that's the property line.
Right.
Maybe it is, but probably not.
Right.
And I have certainly seen that be the case, and we can clean that up.
Right.
Once we know where the actual line is, we can go legally take care of that.
Right.
Get it how everybody's agreed that it is supposed to be.
And the survey map will show on the drawing, which is a certified legal document, essentially. It'll show, okay, here's the fence line, and this is the distance from the fence line to the property line.
Okay.
One way or the other. And you can do the same with the buildings. This is how far the buildings are located off the property line. And surveyors are the only people that are licensed to actually produce those types of maps and documents.
Okay.
That's what we're certified to do.
Right. That's your job. You're supposed to do. So if I am putting up something as simple as a fence, what would you recommend?
I would recommend actually getting a survey done, and you can get points set on the line of the line. Like if you're just wanting one line between your fence, and people call all the time saying, "I just need the one line surveyed. I don't need the whole survey done." But that's not how it works. One line would be considered, in mathematical terms, a vector, and you can't locate that in space unless you've actually closed a mathematical loop, which is the property itself. So you have to actually close the property. You have to actually compare it to the adjoining properties and make sure that the line that you're placing is in the right spot. Because, you know, sometimes deeds overlap each other. So you have to take that into consideration. So you have to look at all the evidence, and then the surveyor establishes where that line is. As simple as one line can be much more complicated than just placing the line and putting points along the line. But typically, a fence company will ask us to come out about a week or two before they're putting the fence in. So we plan it months in advance, like when we're going to coordinate with the fence company if somebody is trying to purchase a survey for the purposes of erecting a fence.
I see. Very good. You know, that's interesting. You mentioned that about how it's an unaskable task to just have one line drawn. And I'm remembering a lot in Chattanooga, and very much a well-established neighborhood in the downtown area. And I remember the surveyor needing to come, and they were going all up and down the street. Yeah. And it was like, no, the property's right here, right? Isn't that all you need? Yeah. And they said, no, we've got to, you know, measure off of this point and this point. And
right. So the deed to your property is what we have to go. We do what's called, in most cases, a retracement survey. We're retracing the line as it was originally set. And the point of beginning could be all the way down the end of the block.
Okay.
So we have to establish where that point is, where the block was, and whether or not all the other pieces of property between you and that point of beginning actually match up like a jigsaw.
And
that's how we can establish where that line actually is. And we're going to use evidence we find, like there may be pins in the ground that we find, but just because there's a pin in the ground doesn't mean it's right. We have to actually establish that that's in the right location and confirm that we agree that's in the right location.
How about that?
And that survey may have been done in the 1920s using different equipment and instruments that we have back then. So you have to take all those into consideration, whether or not that has been established, whether that point has been established over the years as being the corner. Sometimes that holds weight.
Let's talk about flood insurance.
Yes.
I have also hired surveyors to help with flood insurance.
Right.
How does that happen? How does a surveyor potentially impact flood insurance?
So flood insurance maps are maps that are created by the federal government. And they are intended to protect the landowner by establishing what the flood elevation will be in the area that you live. And these maps are revised probably every 10 to 15 years, whenever they can establish the data. They gather all the data from, you know, the rainfalls and the amount of development that has occurred since the last time they developed. Because every time you develop, you're increasing the elevation of the flood elevation.
I see.
So your property may fall within a flood zone, and you may be charged by an insurance company flood insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to pay flood insurance in order to build or to live on that property. If you want to purchase insurance, and this is tied into your mortgage, and it's tied into the purchase of the property. So it's something you absolutely have to consider and should look at before you purchase a property. Is this property in the flood zone? If it is in the flood zone, that doesn't mean you're going to have to pay flood insurance. So one of the things you can do is what triggers it from a real estate perspective, if any portion of the property hits that flood line, then the insurance company is going to require you to pay flood insurance because they don't know where you're building the house. They don't know what elevation the house is. All they're looking at is a map and that the property is in the flood zone. So what an elevation certificate will do is it's a certificate that's prepared by a licensed surveyor, and it certifies that the building or the structure or the electronics like the air conditioning unit or the deck in the back is at this elevation, which is either above or below the 100-year flood, which is the trigger for what your insurance rate is going to be.
Okay.
Based off that. So your house may be several feet, 10 feet, 20 feet above the flood zone. But if any portion of your property is in the flood zone, you may get a reduction in your flood insurance or your insurance rate for your house because your property is above, because your building is above the 100-year flood. And typically they require it to be at least a foot above the 100-year flood elevation for you to get a reduction in your insurance rates. So some people pay very, very high amounts of money for flood insurance every year that they don't necessarily have to. So if you're purchasing a house, I would advise that if it is in a flood zone, ask what the flood insurance currently is on the property. So that's what you're going to have to pay, which will come into your escrows, which is going to, you know, it's going to increase the cost, not only the mortgage price of the house that you're paying, but now you have to include that in the escrow.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, it could be a substantial amount Absolutely. Of money every month. But an elevation certificate, if produced by a survey, can get that drastically reduced.
Speaking from personal experience, I've had that done on a house. It was an investment property, so it was not a home that we lived in. Mm-hmm. And that actually changed the whole equation also for flood insurance. Didn't have anything to do with the elevation part, but the
right.
flood insurance part, it's actually subsidized. The United States subsidizes flood insurance
right.
for owner-occupied properties. Right. And if you do not live in the property, then you're going to pay the unsubsidized price, which is appropriate. That's the way it ought to be, I think.
This applies to businesses as well, because businesses pay a higher insurance rate.
Right.
Yeah. So, and sometimes you can get a property completely removed from the flood map. It's called a letter of map revision or a letter of map correction that a surveyor can do and produce and send to the federal government. And then when the next issue of the map is, they amend the maps and they have revisions all the way through the year. But then when the next maps are actually produced, that property is removed from the flood zone, so it won't trigger again.
How about that? And now that's going to be if the entire property
yeah.
is above that flood
or,
plain? Or
yeah. So sometimes you'll see a developer will get permission, obviously, to fill the property.
Mm-hmm.
They'll actually put dirt in the property to fill it to a certain elevation. Then over a period of time, they can get a letter of map correction, which corrects the location of the flood map, because now there's dirt in the way that water can't get to that elevation that used to be before.
Yeah, so I think it's very important to note here, you may have a 3-acre piece of property and way over in the corner, it's in the floodplain.
That's correct.
So your insurance is going to be higher mm-hmm. unless you have this certificate of elevation. Or
elevation certificate,
Elevation certificate, which can be obtained by hiring
a
surveyor.
Yeah. Not all surveyors will do elevation certificates.
Okay.
There's a CFS certification now. It's a certified floodplain surveyor that a lot of surveyors are getting. You don't have to have that to produce an elevation certificate, but it is a certified program where it's considered within your field of expertise.
Now, let's move on to an experience many of us have with GIS maps. We go online, we go to the Hamilton County mm-hmm. GIS map or whatever county GIS map. You know, it's great because it's a great tool. You can look and see where property lines are or mm-hmm. are generally located. Tell me about realities there and false
yeah.
thoughts.
Yeah. So GIS maps are a fantastic tool that are available to anybody. So it's a public data that pretty much maps out, and we're talking about Hamilton County here, for example. So Hamilton County has mapped out, using the assessor of properties maps, all the parcels of land that are in Hamilton County. And you can zoom in, you can type in your address, and you can zoom in and see your property. And that's fantastic. You can also click on that, and it'll bring you to the assessor's website, which will give you the tax card or the card that shows, you know, how much taxes are being paid on the property and how much land or acreage is in there that you're paying taxes on. And sometimes they don't match each other. Sometimes you might have a 5-acre lot and you may be paying taxes on 7 acres.
Uh-huh.
So you need to check that. And that's right. another thing a survey will do, is give you the actual acreage of your property so that you can ensure that the taxes that you're paying are accurate. Because the assessors of property, they assume it based off the dimensions of your property, what the actual land area is. But you can only confirm that with an actual survey. That's another thing. But these are tools that the GIS maps can do for the average person, is you can click on it, get the information on the property, when it was bought, when it was sold, how much it was sold for, and all that sort of stuff. But one of the downsides is that the maps aren't 100% accurate. So you may see a line that runs along the center of the driveway, or it runs through the garage or a shed at the back of the property. And that triggers a lot of people to want a survey.
Yeah.
Because the map shows that the neighbor's shed is on your property. So we get a lot of work through the inaccuracies of the GIS maps. But let me explain why they're inaccurate, or not as accurate as they do. So the Earth, despite what unbelievably some people are assuming that the Earth is flat, the Earth is round, or geoid in actual shape. And what GIS maps do is they take the county and they put it on a flat surface, a 2D flat surface.
Right.
And then they overlay that surface onto an aerial map, which might be something like Google Maps. So they're overlaying all these maps, which are, again, they're distorted because they're laid flat. Chattanooga is about 650 feet above sea level. The maps are all set at mean sea level.
Oh, sure,
so,
sure.
So there's an adjustment between from the radius of the Earth up. So all of these account for distortions in the map and scalings. So, for example, if you're in your car and you're using the GIS to navigate, they're only providing an accuracy of plus or minus 16 feet. You know, I mean, you're going to be in the right intersection, but you're not in the exact right spot. And some people will go out with a handheld GPS unit, which you can buy at the Bass Pro Shop for $100 exactly. And say, well, I'm walking my line here and this fence is 10 feet over there. You know, that's not accurate. And that's why you need a surveyor to accurately, because we're able to translate all those adjustments.
Yeah.
And figure that out. But that's why the GIS maps aren't that accurate, because they show the shape of the property and they show about where it is on the property, but it's not 100%. So don't panic if you see the line running through a garage or running up the side. Yes, you might want to get it checked, but that's another reason why you probably should have had a survey done before you bought the property, so you would know that ahead of time.
We should not rely on those GIS maps
for property lines.
For property lines complete accuracy on that. Right. Anything else that we have missed that we should touch on?
Just respect a surveyor if you see them out in the field. We get a lot of our time is spent talking to a neighbor who's, we have right of passage. So when we're walking a line and a neighbor will come and say, you're on my property, get off my property, all that sort of stuff, can be contentious, police can get called and so forth. But we have right of passage to walk a line. That is a law. So we have a right to be there. We have a right to walk the line of your neighbor if they've hired us to do that. If we can't get to the property, we have the right to walk the line to get to another property if it's landlocked or if we can't get to it from a normal public access.
I see.
A reasonable right of passage. Just respect that a surveyor is busy doing work. If you have evidence, please share that. Hey, I know where my corner is, and you can point to a pin that's there and it's marked and flagged. A surveyor would definitely appreciate that. But try and respect, and they're doing their work out there, and try not to harass them too much.
Yeah, that's good advice. Yeah.
People see a surveyor and feel that immediately that their lines are being threatened. You know, their property line's being threatened because a surveyor is there. But a surveyor will be doing the best job they can to accurately position that line. And if you need a copy of the survey, their surveyor will be more than happy to share a copy with our own client, plus our neighbor's clients, if there's an issue, like with a fence and so forth. Because one side will say, when I bought this property, I was told the fence was mine. And we're finding out with the survey now that the fence actually belonged to our client. But giving that information to the other neighbor will help it down the line when they go to sell their property that, oh, that fence is, you know, it's a foot off the line, but we know that now.
Now we know.
Yeah.
There are a lot of really cool tools that I know you use in your career. I think there are a lot of young people that are looking for new careers.
Absolutely.
That may not realize, yes, you're walking property lines, but that's just a portion of your work.
Right? Tip of the iceberg.
What are some of the things that you do? Why would somebody want to be a surveyor?
So we have some great tools right now. We have, you know, the unmanned aircraft, the drones that people use. So we can now, the technology is such with the quality of the cameras that we can do aerial photography now with a drone. We used to have an airplane to do that. So it can be done with an unmanned aircraft now. flown from the ground, and you can get very accurate. And what you can do with that information is draft contour lines, so you get to see the terrain. So this is helpful from an engineering perspective if you're trying to grade a site, or, you know, build roads in there, or figure out, you know, what parts of the property you can develop. So the contour map is very essential, and the drones definitely will help with that. But there's a lot of other technologies. The GPS is getting very, very accurate. It's been accurate for a long time for our industry. Mm-hmm. It's getting more accurate for the public sector as well. But it's not cheap equipment. It's quite expensive equipment. And it provides us, again, with the tools that we need to convert all the distortions to actual real surface points on the ground. Yeah. When we have in Tennessee, we have an apprenticeship program for people who are interested, who might be interested. It's a field that you can get into with just a high school diploma. Graduating high school, you can get into surveying, and you can build a career and raise a family off your salary on that. And there's not too many industries that you can do that.
True.
You know, obviously being licensed gives you the authority to place corners and to, you know, to have establish your own business. But you can be a crew chief, and you can work for a surveyor for really good salary, have a full life being outdoors. I work a lot on the river. I work sometimes with the Tennessee American Water Company when they're putting pipelines in under the Tennessee River. So we have to map the riverbed.
Wow.
So we're using sonar along with GPS to actually develop a map for that, so they can figure out where they have to dig their trench.
That's some cool stuff right there.
Yeah. So there's a lot. And then bridge technologies, LIDAR. We have terrestrial LIDAR now, which is in additional to the aerial LIDAR. LIDAR is where they send these millions of points onto the ground that's reflected up to the camera, and they use those points to generate maps. So we can use that technology now with LIDAR on the sides of buildings, or you can map out bridges, or companies that have lots of pipes and conveyor belts and stuff.
Oh, right.
They can map them out in 3D, which helps the architects out a lot. Before, we'd have to actually survey, you know, the start of the slope of the pipe and the end of the pipe, and then draw a line between them, and that's where the pipe was. But now you're able to, with LIDAR, actually map the whole pipe all the way along it. Surveying business is typically for someone who likes the outdoors, but it's becoming more for people who like both, who like working at a CAD, working on computer-assisted drafting on the computer, and coupling that with field work.
Well, thanks so much for sharing all this with us. If someone wanted to get in touch with a
surveyor,
what would they do?
Obviously, you can do a Google search for a surveyor in your area. I will tell you that there are about 1,000 or 1,100 licensed professional surveyors in the state of Tennessee. About 700 of those are residents in Tennessee. So you may be licensed. For example, I'm licensed in Georgia, but I don't live in Georgia. You might find it difficult to find a surveyor. We have about 50 surveying companies in the Chattanooga area, you know, going from Cleveland to, you know,
in that area locally.
So you can find us easily enough. But the Tennessee Association of Professional Surveyors, or TAPS, T-A-P-S, has a website, and you can find a surveyor on that website. It's tapsinc.org. And you can find some great information on the TAPS website about what you can expect to pay for a survey and so forth.
Such great information. I really appreciate you coming, Mario.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being here today. So I'm Blake Watson, agent with Epic Realty. My mobile phone is 423-315-1815, and my brokerage office phone is 888-893-3537. You can find me on Facebook and LinkedIn as Blake Watson, and on Instagram as Rock and Roll Blake. My website is realestatebyblake.com. Now, if you're on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or any of the other podcast apps, well, please follow this podcast so you won't miss an episode. And I look forward to talking with you next week on Let's Talk Chattanooga Real Estate.